Well, I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. We're going to look also in Genesis, and then we're going to look in just one other book today, A Faith Unequal. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. If you're a historian, you probably, in different categories, can remember famous people. Some of you that are old Braves friends and thought you would never, ever see a World Series have always hung on to the name Henry Aaron, Hall of Fame hitter for the Atlanta Braves. And then we think about other sports like football. Tom Brady is now legendary because of the amount of Super Bowls that he's won and the years that he served in the NFL. When we go to entertainment, some of you are still thinking that Elvis is still in the house. Elvis Presley, a Hall of Fame. Then pro basketball. We think about the player who made the Hall of Fame, the greatest player in the NBA of all time, who was cut by his high school coach, Michael Jordan. From history, we think about Winston Churchill, George Patton, and then Norman Schwarzkopf. Think about the pulpits around the world, Martin Luther, the Reformer, Jonathan Edwards, John Wesley. Then you come up today, you think of Adrian Rogers before he went home to be with the Lord, Charles Stanley. Then many of you absolutely love David Jeremiah. He does a great job. The Old Testament, we think about names of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Elijah, Elisha. We go to the New Testament, we think of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Stephen, the first Christian martyr, Paul, the greatest missionary of all time. And we go on and on till we get to the name above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one name that we often overlook when we're examining the Old Testament, and it is the simple name Enoch. There's only 145 verses in the Bible that cover his name. In fact, it's not 145 verses, it's 145 words. There are 51 words in the Old Testament and 94 words in the New Testament that describe this man named Enoch. The three passages that record his life are Genesis, Hebrews, and Jude 11 through 14. However, what little we do know of him, we're most definitely left with an impression that although he was little known, he was largely known from heaven's point of view. First of all, let's look at him as his name is engraved in God's Hall of Fame. And offered life. That name Enoch means to be dedicated. Only six verses of the Bible we find his biography. Enoch set forth, but what a biography it is, because it talks about a man of discipline, a man of dedication, and a man of devotion. So in our text, Enoch's resume is marked in a couple of ways. One thing, notice that he lived a faithful life. When you go back to Genesis chapter 5, we see the introduction of Enoch, and it says there simply, he is a man who walked with God. Enoch is only one of two men in the Bible that has that statement attached to his name. We get the idea that he was in hot pursuit of God. Now, I want you to watch this carefully. Enoch walked with God. It does not say God walked with Enoch. That's what happens in our woke culture today. People who are living alternative lifestyles will say, God made us that way. That's false. The Bible says so. Those people are saying that God walks with me. In other words, he endorses whatever I think is right and whatever I think is moral, whatever I think is pure. Notice it doesn't say that Enoch walked ahead of God. If you get ahead of God, you always get run over. I've been involved in that crash. But there are things that I want you to notice about his position. When he was before God, that represents his consecration to God. When he's behind God, that represents his commitment to God. But when he's walking with God, that represents his communion and his daily fellowship with God the Father. In other words, it wasn't God who was going in Enoch's direction, but it was Enoch who was going in God's direction. That's so important. So let's make it practical and personal. A person can say that they're walking with God and they never read their Bible, they never pray, they never go to church, they never share the gospel with a lost person. Listen, that person's not walking with God. That person's not anywhere near God. They're just living a lie. Now, there's several aspects of our walk that I want you to underscore. In Genesis 17, verse 1 says we're to walk before God, that consecration. Deuteronomy 13, 4, we're to walk after the Lord. Like I said, that's your commitment. That's the text that goes with that. And to walk with God is communion with God. In other words, to walk with God not only means that we're morally clean, but we're spiritually consecrated and committed to having daily communion with him. But from the direction of his walk with God, notice the duration of his walk with God. Bible scholar Alan Ross said this, walking with God, the expression became a common description of the life of fellowship and obedience with the Lord, as if to say that walking with God was a step above mere living. We see that Enoch's walk with God meant that he had stepped above the common way of the Christian life. Now, he's not being prideful. He's not being arrogant, saying he's more spiritual than you are. He's just chosen a lifestyle that moved him up to the supreme level of Christian living here on this earth. Listen to verse 21 in Genesis chapter 5. When Enoch had lived 65 years, think about this, grandmas and grandpas, he became the father of Methuselah at 65. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Let's break that down for you. He lived 109,500 days. Let's break it down to the hours, 2,628,000 hours. Let's break it down to minutes. He lived for 157,680,000 minutes. Enoch enjoyed communion with God here on this earth. As a 65-year-old dad, God gave Enoch a son called Methuselah. Now, Methuselah's name is very simple. It means when he shall die, it shall be sent. And you remember the judgment that was coming when Methuselah died, that was going to be the flood upon this earth. So God demonstrated his love and his long-suffering by allowing Methuselah to live longer than anybody else, 969 years. Enoch did not know how long Methuselah was going to live. The only thing he knew is that he was to serve with God and be a man after God's own heart. The second thing I want you to see here is not only his faithfulness, notice Enoch's fondness for God. Somebody once asked President Abraham Lincoln that he set up a day that our nation would pray and call out to God that God would be on our side. And Abraham Lincoln said, there's no need for that kind of day. God is always on the right side. What we need to do is get on God's side. And I submit to you that if we get with God, we'll be on the right side because he's not only on the right side, he is the right side. W.E. Daniels said this, it is ours to walk with God and let the world walk as it will. Now, I see a couple of things about Enoch's passion for God. First, notice it says here in verse 5 that Enoch pleased God. Now, don't get the wrong idea. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by what Jesus did on the cross, by his blood. We're saved by his grace. It's a free gift of salvation and forgiveness. But we find that he did that which he thought would be God-honoring. And then immediately verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, in order for God to be pleased with the life of Enoch, faith and faithfulness were required. Enoch believed that God was who he said he was. And it's important to note that Enoch didn't own a copy of the Word of God like we do. He couldn't go and look at Proverbs. He couldn't go and look at the book of Revelation. He couldn't go back and look at the Old Testament here. He didn't have all that at his disposal. It was not complete. He got a word from God personally. Although Enoch didn't have the word of God, he was receiving the word from God. Now, if this book is true and God is who he says he is, and I believe he is, then you have and I have no other recourse but that to believe this is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God. Every chapter, every book is written for us to follow. Now, because of who he believed, notice how he behaved. Notice how he lived in Jude 14 through 15. Enoch's message described his day as an ungodly time. Genesis 6, 5 and 6, God gave his report on Enoch's day. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. I shudder a little bit when I read that last verse. God regretted that he created human beings. Enoch lived in the days preceding the floods. Those were some of the most ungodly days in the history of man. Yet right in the midst of the ungodly days, here's a man named Enoch that decided it doesn't matter what anybody else does. I don't care what kind of criticism they bring to me. I will walk with God. You don't need to be reminded of the wickedness and the ungodliness of our day. We hear abortion called the women's right to choose. We hear about sodomy is called an alternative lifestyle. We live in a day when creation is being pushed aside for evolution. We're here in a day when people are saying defund the police. Let's abolish the police. But then let's let people burn cities down. Last night I texted my sister in Columbia County about something. And she lives in a very nice neighborhood. And she said, we're on lockdown. She said, there are police helicopters flying overhead. The county cops are everywhere. And she said, they have stopped with the helicopter and police cars at the pool for the neighborhood about a block away. She said, there's a repeat offender that needs to be in jail. Should have never been let out. Fled police, stole a car, crashed the car, and then he escaped into their neighborhood. And I said, well, what are you doing? She said, well, I've locked myself in my bedroom. And she said, you know, I have a 9mm in one of the drawers, but I haven't used it in so long. She said, I'm going to get out my YouTube video and see how to use my 9mm. And she said, she's just getting over hand surgery. So she said, I can actually pull it back and I can load it. And she said, now, let me show you where my dog is, Linus. Linus was on the king-side bed, spread out on all fours, asleep, having dreams from the treats he ate that day. I mean, the helicopter's hovering over the house. There's sirens everywhere. And the dog is asleep. Totally worthless. I'll just tell you what that is. T- text her again this morning. She said, we have a neighborhood email that says, don't go out on your normal walks. Don't go out in the neighborhood. We have not apprehended this criminal yet. That's just getting to be a common, everyday occurrence, because no bail, no punishment for the crime. Just let people go out and do it all over again. Well, we find here in Enoch's day, you got the same thing going on. We've got evil there. As believers, we are surrounded by wickedness on every corner. 2 weeks before I wrote this message in 2023, just right after the first of the year, there was a lady in Atlanta who lived alone. She had taken all the precautions. She moved in a gated community. Her son came over to check her and found her stabbed to death in her blood in the driveway. Another repeat offender had attempted a liquor store robbery. The police responded. He tried to give away. He jumped over the gate. This lady was getting out of her car. He took a knife and stabbed her to death in her own driveway and escaped in a stolen car. Enoch lived in a dark day, but because of his love for God, he let his light shine. Notice an optimum life. Someone has well said, civilized man has mastered the art of flying, but he's lost the art of walking with God. I submit to you, there's nothing greater that could be said about anybody than that we walk with God. You know, we've got people who've gone to the moon. We've got people who run large companies. We've got people who are the wealthiest folks in the whole world. But to say that you walk with God is greater than any other accomplishment in the whole world. The greatest thing a child could say about their father is, my father walks with God. My mother walks with God. Enoch's only claim to fame was that he walked with God. Now notice the details of his story in verse 5. Before his translation, he had this testimony. The writer is very specific in his description of Enoch's testimony. All of us who are born again could have a testimony. But notice that each of us are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but all of us have a very individual testimony. This testimony is yours. This testimony is mine. But he had a very specific testimony. About 2 years ago, when I went on the executive committee of the Georgia Baptist Convention, I was in Duluth in the chapel, and we were having our devotion before we started doing Georgia Baptist business. Young man got up, Josh Sefko, 36 years old, tall, sharp-looking young man. He stood up in a very humble way. He said, I was raised by a pagan mother and dad. None of them were saved. We've never taken to church. They didn't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it, Jesus. And he said, I was a pretty good athlete, and I finally made it to college. He got connected with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He was a quarterback on his college football team, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. Since that time, he's gone home and led mom and dad to Jesus. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Now, they're involved in church. Well, he met the love of his life. He got married. He's got his master's degree and his PhD. And Josh is south of Atlanta now in Lafayette. And he is growing a huge church down there. Now he's only 38 years old. He didn't have a testimony. He had this testimony. He had his testimony that we ought to readily share. Now notice the duration of his story. He says here of Enoch, he pleased God. You don't need to say anything else about him. How'd you like to have that on your headstone one day? He or she pleased God. That just speaks volumes and volumes. The word please is only used twice in the New Testament. It's found here and again in Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. From our lips and from our lives, we ought to live like a sacrifice to Him that is pleasing to God. The word was often used to describe how a child would please parents. Didn't you like to please your parents? Oh, when Mom would take us down in that 1959 Plymouth Savoy with the bat wings on the back, straight shift with no radio, no floor mats, no air conditioner. Friday afternoons, we'd go down to the A&P in downtown Augusta, and Mama would buy 2 weeks' worth of groceries. And here's what she'd say: if you three little wild Indians will keep your mouth shut and keep your hands off of all the candy in this store, you can buy one treat when we get to the checkout. You think we didn't try to please God? We were pleasing God by honoring our mother. And you know what the treat would be? A 5-cent Baby Ruth. But brother, a 5-cent Baby Ruth, I can make it last 2 weeks. A pack of M&Ms for 5 cents was a real pack of M&Ms. And then if we were superior that day, we'd get one nickel treat apiece, Mom would buy a 6-pack of 8.5-ounce returnable bottle Coca-Colas that lasted for 2 weeks. But you could only have them on Friday night when we always had hot dogs and potato chips. That's the only time you could drink them. So we try to please our mom. Listen, it's a great thing to please Mom when you're in the grocery store, when you want treats. But it's so much more important that we please God with the way we live our lives and with the things we say and with the things we do. Would you think about this for a minute? Go back and by sheer mathematics, you go back and you look at Enoch and you go back just a little farther to Adam, just going back, it just mind boggles you. And can you think about when Enoch would go to an Adamic family reunion? What did I say about the world? It was what? It was wicked. So that meant that a lot of his family members were wicked. So when he would show up, it was like a Baptist preacher's born into a bootlegger's family. They don't like to see him at Christmas dinner. They just always call on him to pray before they eat. That's what happens. So he would not have been too welcomed by his own relatives, mostly his cousins, his own very own relatives Enoch called ungodly, so he would not be popular with them. I'm sure that Enoch wasn't a welcome sight, but although Enoch may not have pleased his family or friends or foes, he pleased his heavenly Father, which is most important. I need not remind you that if we please God, it really doesn't matter who we displease. We don't want to be arrogant. We don't want to be haughty. We don't want to be in people's face. But as long as we know we're doing what God wants us to do, led by the Spirit, and also directed by the Word of God, we don't have to apologize or explain ourselves to anybody. Proverbs 16:7, when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, He causes their enemies to make peace with them. Pleasing God should be the desire of every believer. I read something the other day. It was written in 1997. Richard Carlson wrote a best-selling book offering 100 basic principles for living a balanced life. Listen to insight number 89. If someone throws you a ball, you don't have to catch it. Now, if you're a receiver on a football team or you're playing on a baseball team, don't try that on the coach, because you're going to get to hug the pine the rest of the season. Just because somebody calls you doesn't mean you have to answer your phone. I know a lot of you who don't answer your phone. And that's fine. Another person's emergency doesn't have to be your emergency. If somebody criticizes you, especially if it's unjust, you don't have to accept that criticism. It's simply a principle of operating at a sustainable pace where you can be of greater use and value to others. 2.5 decades after the publication, the balls are still coming at us faster and from all different directions, so we must guard what we catch. A life that will be unique in our day is one that sticks with the Bible truth, not in feelings, opinions, trends, and lies that are promoted around us. Now notice what an outstanding life he lived. The life of Enoch was not only devoted and should not only be desired, but it was quite distinguished. Notice his deliverance in Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And you remember from the time you were in primary school and in Sunday school where they taught you where what was Enoch doing? He was walking with God in the garden late one day, and God looked at Enoch and said, you know, it's shorter to my house than it is to yours. Come home and go with me. And he was gone. Do you think there was a search? Oh, yeah. His granddaddy would have missed him. His relatives would have sent out a posse, a search team. They're looking around for Enoch, but all of a sudden, he was not. He notes how Enoch's father and grandfather would have been disturbed by this, and they would have wondered what in the world could have happened to this preacher of righteousness. The reformer Luther says, no doubt they suspected foul play on the part of Cain's descendants. Enoch had preached against their wickedness. Perhaps he had been slain like Abel and buried secretly. You know what this really is? This is a picture of the saint when Jesus comes. Boom. We're out of here. There's a picture of the whole New Testament church in one man at the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. A destination, Hebrews 9:27, just as people are destined once to die, and after this, the judgment. In other words, while man can die forever spiritually, he can only die once physically. Man can only die one time. However, Enoch never died. He and Elijah, one of two men, boom, out of here. Never tasted death. The undertaker was disappointed that he didn't get his commission off those two men. Then when you turn to Revelation chapter 11, you see we're going into the great tribulation, the 7 years there. And during the time of the tribulation, there are two what? There are two messengers that are going to be sent by God to share the gospel during that time. Some say it's going to be Moses and Elijah. Some people say it's going to be Moses and Enoch. Well, why would he send them back? Well, Elijah and Enoch never died, but they get down here and they're preaching, and some Jews get saved and other people get saved, and all of a sudden they're slain. And what happens to those two witnesses during the time of tribulation? People going by, you know, they're just cursing their name and they don't want to hear about the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, boom, what have you got? You got a resurrection of those messengers during the great tribulation. We think about the rapture. You can be at home washing dishes. You can be at work on your computer. You can be at school teaching or a student there. You can be eating lunch. You can be in church. You can be in Sunday school. You can be in choir. And all of a sudden, we're gone. Well, what's going to be said about us? Are we just going through life? Or are we walking with God? Do we get up in the morning and say, come, Lord Jesus? You do when you have a big test in college. Come, Lord Jesus. You do when you got open heart surgery and you've had a week to think about it. Come, Lord Jesus. But just on an everyday scale, do you look for Christ to come? If you look in presidential history, you got President's Day tomorrow. You got Andrew Johnson, who took the place of Abraham Lincoln after he was assassinated. He had a thankless job of directing Reconstruction. People put him up for impeachment, failed by one vote. Two other presidents in history have been put up for impeachment besides him. But somebody said that Andrew Johnson had this put on his tombstone. Now, can you imagine this? He's buried in Greenville, Tennessee. People trying to impeach him. He's trying to put the nation back together. Here's what's on his tombstone. His faith in people never wavered. People tried to have him impeached. His faith never wavered. What do you want on your tombstone? What would it mean if said he or she walked with God? His or her faith never wavered. We're hearing so much about the Asbury College Revival right now. Chase and Rachel Camp, who lead our college ministry, got off work Friday afternoon, boarded their dog, loaded their two children, and rode up to the campus to see what was going on. He's been texting me off and on ever since. Here's what he said. He said, "Brother Phil, there's nobody shouting and screaming. There's no loud music. They're not standing around in darkness. There's not even a fog machine." He said, "There are people on their knees up here repenting of their sins and dedicating themselves to Christ." He says there's a quietness over this campus. He said they opened up four more rooms because they can't get everybody in the chapel. They keep rotating them in and out. He said, and they're doing simulcast in four different chapels. It's just people are coming by the thousands. I don't know about you, but I've been praying for 20 years that God would send revival to America. Liberals not going to like it. But we need to get back on our knees and serve the one who allowed the greatest nation on the face of the earth to be created. And you know, it just might start with the next gen. Those on our college campuses. I don't care where it starts. I just love to see that happen to the glory of God. But you know what's really happening on the Asbury campus? It's what happened to Enoch. They've made a decision where they're lost and now being saved, or they've already been saved and haven't been living for Christ. They're making this decision. For the rest of my life, I am walking with God. That's revival. Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed, eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, we go back and study Enoch, somebody we've studied since we were kids. But we forget sometimes the implications of these few words that describe his life. You've given us the owner's manual, the Word of God. You've empowered us by the Holy Spirit. And now what you want us to do is just have a surrendered spirit, attitude, and a humble heart to be what you want us to be. And that's simply just walk with you to do what you want us to do, become what you want us to be. But all that's got to give glory to you. Pray we'll make that decision as we're leaving today. we do pray for an evangelistic revival to sweep America, to shake the hearts and souls of people across this country. It's time that we stop following the madness of sin and started following after the Savior who shed his blood. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, listen, Jesus lived a perfect life, went to the cross willingly to shed his blood to pay for your free gift and my free gift of salvation. Send it into heaven the third day, promising that we too are promised to be in his physical presence throughout eternity through rapture or by appointment with death. Would you make that decision today? If you're unsure how to do that, we'll have people during the service and after the service to assist you with no pressure, just with the word of God, so you make the most important decision you've ever made in your life. Here today, you've already been saved, need to be a candidate for baptism. Listen to me carefully. Jesus was willing to be scourged, cursed at, spat upon, nailed to a cross, the worst form of death known to man during that day. And all I'm asking you to do today is just come forward and say, I have trusted that risen King to save me, and I need to be a candidate for baptism and church membership. Would you come today? Satan doesn't want you to do that. If you've been our guest for a while and God is calling you to move your spiritual gifts in the ministries of this little church in Silver Creek, we ask you to come. We'll take care of the details and write for you a letter. We just want you to do what you know in your heart God's calling you to do. And Lord, may all these decisions, public and private, give you glory this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Eric's coming forward, along with the praise band over in the Family Life Center. If you're uncomfortable coming forward, just meet him or Richard at the welcome desk at the back of the Family Life Center after the service. Ted's going to join me here at the front. If you want to come, we invite you to do so. If you're uncomfortable doing that, meet us at the Welcome Center desk after the service. If you're watching us on your electronic device, you need to make a decision or you need prayer, call 706-234-1841. Leave a message and we'll call you back just as soon as we get that message. So Mark's leading us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.